Hello, hi to go, mommy dearest.
Hi, I'm Kai, aka Adi.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations.
One thought at a time. Sunny morning.
What are you guys doing here at the end of the week? What's happening?
On a Friday.
Okay.
On a Friday.
What are these? What's got you people in the car?
Sorry. It's the excitement for dropping an episode.
You get it?
Randomly.
You get it? Guys, we're coming to you with a special episode. I don't know if you can tell. I don't know.
Like Razamile de Kubo. Like.
And part of our special episode means we're going straight into our long topic. No game, no girl chat. We're going into the meat. You get it? Which is passion over purpose.
Yep.
Purpose over performance.
Performance versus purpose. Like.
Yes.
Acting for performance or acting for purpose, yeah? Yeah. So it's an interesting topic. It's a deep... I chose this topic this week, so I'm going to be the one leading the conversation. I hope you guys enjoy the special. If you're really loving it so far, even though there's nothing we've given you, you can comment, like, a purple heart because of the...
Actually, yeah.
Purple background.
Purple heart. And do they have, like, mugs in the emojis?
I'm sure there is like a tea something. Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Comment that.
Because it's winter and it's cold, but Mugel uti ichiji I bandi.
You get it, guys. We actually have like, I wouldn't say, is it an expo? No. As part of, so I'm a, if you didn't know, I'm a Zulu girl, okay?
Oh, and
ngabe gade, like I should have had umemulo wami a long time ago, but thankfully the opportunity has presented itself to be
In a memoir, yes, in July.
Umganwami, so it's going to be her eyes side by side.
Oh my goodness.
Unfortunately,
no, but it's mandatory.
No, sorry, unfortunately, got to. So you get it, so that's my baby, but I can't wait. I can't wait to not go tall. And Vera Umemulu is in the thick of winter.
Yo, guys, as a student staying at Rez, Yayazi is stockfell yogula. And there are days where we just don't feel like cooking.
Well, thankfully, KFC has got us all covered with their new promo bucket that's just 149.90 rand. And it doesn't end there.
Yeah, all you have to do is buy the bucket and scan the QR code on the bucket to stand a chance to win bottomless buckets and instant prizes.
Guys, run, do not walk. The competition ends really soon, and I think it's a fantastic opportunity to pair cozy moments with comfort food. Terms and conditions apply.
As an invited guest,
with clay on my face. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm going to be in the thick of my Zulu. I'm going to be Shaka 11, Nandi. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm getting so carried away.
Okay.
Let's get into the meat of the episode.
Okay, so it's like choosing purpose over performance.
Yeah.
So what we want to come out of this episode, having had learned, and what we want you guys to learn as well, is that becoming her is about living deeply aligned, not performing for approval or applause.
Yeah.
So now that brings me to my first question. Have you ever felt the pressure to be polished, impressive, or on brand at all times, especially being like a content creator? I think this speaks so well to us, actually.
I do think it speaks very well to us. And I, surprisingly enough, I've never felt that pressure to be polished.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of part of my appeal, is that you will see me in my crustiness, and then you'll see me in my lace fronty, full face beat. Like, you're going to see me in my different skins. And I think that's what my audience appreciates about me. But also, more than my audience appreciating it, it gives me, you know, a different level of confidence in that I'm beautiful in all
shapes and forms.
And I'm confident in those shapes and forms, you know. I never wanted, and thankfully I've never presented an image that I can't keep up with, you know. If you do see me in, like, if you do see me super done up, that's the anomaly, you know. It's like, oh my God, she's super done up. But then my regular, like, you've seen my hair, you've seen my bare face, you've seen me minimal makeup, you've seen me with full, so I think I've done a great job at building a community of people who know what it is to be real, in you know, In all aspects.
In all shapes and forms.
Have you ever felt that pressure?
So for me, it's not the pressure in physical appearance. Because I feel like I'm also like the realest person ever, guys.
Yeah.
You will catch me, same as Kai, in all shapes and forms. Makeup, gezilang, gezanga. Follow me on YouTube, you will see. Like, you will catch me in all shapes and forms. Yeah. But I've felt the pressure of being, I'm looking for the word, the right word, on brand or polished in terms of my personality.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I've spoken about this before. I said that for a long time I was fake, especially in the beginning journeys of my YouTube channel. I was scared to say no, not to please people and stuff. And I was so obsessed with, because I was already branded as, oh, she's the sweet girl on YouTube. She's the loving, kind, girl on YouTube. So even if I felt like these are situations where it's called for me to be out of character and call people out or say no or clap back or fight for myself, I didn't do that because, even though it's in my nature, I didn't do it because I was trying to keep a polished image, you know. And I did speak about it, like saying yes to things that I would have said no to. I just didn't want to disappoint people. So in terms of like introspectively, I've definitely felt the need to stay polished, you know. And I'm sure you felt that pressure too. In the inside, remember there was that season where you were on another podcast and like you were getting backlash for showing your emotion and showing your anger. Did you feel
I still didn't care? Feel any pressure?
I love
it. I've never, not to toot toot, but toot toot, yeah. Like I've always been
in that girl.
But let me say, I've always been in the spotlight in my world, right? In primary school, I was one of the popular ones. In high school, I was one of the popular ones. In varsity, even, I was the head turner. You get what I'm saying? So I learned at a very young age not to care about what people say concerning me and who they think I am, because you don't know me. In fact, one of the things that pisses me off so bad is when people think they know me, because I promise you, you do not. So when you see a side that is unfamiliar, I don't care how abrasive that is to you. That is who I am. If you're, if it's unpalatable, digest something else. Do you know what I'm saying? Have something else to chew on. But I've never felt the need to make myself digestible or palatable for people who I don't even care about, who don't even care about me. You'll find that like people don't really care about who you are, but thandanje indaba. That's literally it. So I've never ever felt the pressure to keep up a persona or keep up appearances, an image, or to adhere to how people see me. Your expectations of who I should be are your own. I've never carried that weight of other people's expectations ever. In fact, it's my own expectations that weigh me down. I really don't care.
You know, funny enough is we've experienced the similar things, but we received it differently. Because I've also always been in the spotlight. Like, I was head girl in primary. I was, like, in high school, I was that girl. Like, in terms of, like, spotlight. Like, the spotlight has always been mine. Like, people gravitate. People who are important gravitate towards me. I feel like that's a blessing on its own. But for me, I got a lot of bullying for that. And because I was bullied for that, like when I became head girl, like somebody wrote in the bathroom walls at school. Imagine, that's how popular I was. I was on bathroom walls at school, you know. Would say, oh, I don't deserve that position. There was like all, there was this whole banter and this whole chatter. Even like in high school, the fact that like a whole matric class held a meeting in like a meeting during lunch over me. So it's good to see, I've been that girl and all this. But I didn't take it as like, I'm that girl, I don't care, you don't have to accept or digest me. But it rather like pushed me further into like people pleasing and like dimming down my light and trying to be palatable. Like now I don't raise my hands up and answer in class because everybody else don't know the answer, and if I know the answer, like, so I tried to.
So where are box you now?
Myself. Oh no, now I don't care.
How did you get there from that to this?
I think a lot of it has to do with this couch. I won't lie. A lot of it has to do with this platform and this couch, and I won't lie, like, even you have influenced me in a way as well, you know? And it just made me realize that, hey, guys, you're destined to be more than. Like, it's inevitable that people will want to bring you down no matter what, you know. And you see it with like the greatest, the people who have achieved the most in their career paths, like Bonang Matheba. Like people look and like mine for opportunity. Mini Dlamini, they mine for opportunities to bring them down, you know, especially as a black woman.
Yeah.
So it's inevitable. It means you're doing something right if people are looking for an opportunity to bring you down. Mm. So I guess it was a change of perspective that got me here.
I think also, funny enough, it's always so convenient that I come across a new philosophy every time we're about to shoot an episode. I was scrolling and I came across this guy. His name is Chris Hinton. I'll put the link in the description. And he was talking about covert contracts, right? These if and when agreements that we have subconsciously with the world. So it can be in relationships, in friendships, in your workspace. And what he means by if and when is sort of, you know, when you decide without communicating that if I do this, then this outcome
will happen.
This should be the outcome. Mm-hmm. And that is a recipe for disaster, because when you do that if and when in your mind, you are attaching yourself to the outcome, therefore having really high expectations of something that may not even lead to that end, may not even be the means to that end. Example, if I, with our career, if I post more, then I will get more followers, right? So you attach your activity on social media, you're carrying out your passion and your purpose to the outcome of more followers. What happens when those followers do not come? Then you question your purpose, then you question your passion. And now it becomes a performance. Another example in relationships.
What's so fun? Wait, can I? She's like, I don't have anything to talk about on this
topic.
I told
you, it's gonna come.
Look at it, it's coming with philosophies. I am so done with this girl, but carry on.
I told you it's gonna come. Another example in relationships is if I continue to show this person how much I love them and respect them, then they will love and respect me in return.
Mm-hmm.
That also, you are performing in order to get validation or to be seen. And therefore, being seen affects your purpose and your performance. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So when it comes to purpose or, you know, performance versus your purpose, detach yourself from the outcome. That way you can live in your purpose, you can execute it, and whatever happens. Really.
Mm.
What was really difficult, it is really difficult to let go of expectations, because we are expected to show up in certain spaces, provide for our families, maintain an image, maintain your brand, keep up with campaigns, keep up with your boss, keep up with academic performance. Mm. But when you detach yourself from the outcome, I promise you, you'll be able to show up better. And you'll be able to show up even more in a greater capacity because you are being authentically yourself without expecting anything from anyone in return. Mm-hmm. So when I put myself on a public platform, it's for myself. Mm. I don't need the applause in the comment section. I don't need the views. I don't need the likes. I love what I'm doing. This is my passion. This is my purpose. The performance, how my passion and purpose performs, is not up to me. My contribution is to be there, show up, give, provide. You know what I'm saying? And however the public receives it, unfortunately, we have a career that kind of depends on people seeing it.
Yes, and receiving
it. I think people just naturally gravitate to somebody living out their purpose fully. And I always make an example with Poppy, because Poppy is living it up, and people naturally gravitate to people who have no point to prove. That if and when, and that when at the end, oh, if I do this, then this will happen. That is
stopping you from actually living your purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. Mm. Okay. Now, nice segue into the cost of people pleasing.
Yeah.
Right? Drifting away from your own values just to be liked or validated. Mm-hmm. Have you ever?
No.
See, I have.
Yeah, this is
so this is my I have, guys. The cost of people pleasing is your soul.
Yeah,
I will always say this, because you will sacrifice your boundaries, you will sacrifice your standards, you will sacrifice so much of yourself in the name of pleasing others, you know, and it eats away at you so much. Like it eats away at you, and at the end of the day, you would have done it for nothing. Yeah. All the people I tried to please are nowhere in my life right now.
Sure.
They are bringing no value to my life right now.
Did they bring value then?
Not even. Yeah. Like, not value that was worth it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a thing of, like, imagine going and doing all of this for it to mean nothing. And it was inevitable that it was going to mean nothing because you were not doing it for you.
Yeah.
Whatever you do for others and not for yourself will always mean nothing for you because it was never done for you in the first place.
Yeah.
So the cost of people pleasing is your boundaries. Like, I broke so many of my boundaries. There were so many things I said I would never do that I did because I was trying to please others, you know. Your standard, the standard and the way you see and the way you hold yourself is also compromised in the name of people pleasing, you know. And guys, it's not worth it. Like, these people don't matter. Like, they really don't matter. Like, now that I think about it, besides people pleasing in, like, the industry, I'm even thinking about it, people pleasing in my, like, personal life. Like, tiptoeing around people, trying to make certain people happy, trying not to offend certain people. And I'm like, why go through all that admin? Like, you are going to find offense anyways. You are going to find a way to feel angry anyways, even with the, like, bullying and the meetings and stuff like that, you did not know me, but you went and attended a meeting about me. Like, you are going to be angry.
Wasting anyways. Your life and time.
Bruh, you are going to do it anyways, you know? So why am I going above and beyond to try and, like, make you feel better and soothe your ego?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, no, people pleasing ain't worth it.
Yeah.
It ain't worth it, guys. Do things that make you happy.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people who lose their spark are people who
please. Yes.
Yeah. And I thankfully, I'm around people who've gotten their spark back, but I myself have also lost my spark in a relationship where this person, threw water on my fire. Threw the water, spat on my fire.
Everything.
Extinguished it. Like, he did every... That man hated my guts, now that I think about it. Because every show of originality, he hated. If I wore something that was like... You know how sometimes I do like to overdress a little bit? When I did that, it was always like a side eye, you know? So, more... In addition to people pleasing being the reason you lose your spark... Being in toxic, poisonous relationships can also be the reason for you losing your spark.
Mm-hmm.
And I think getting that back is, even with friendships, sometimes losing a friend can really, really displace you.
Mm.
And to avert that, you can love people, but you have to be aggressive about building a life that is your own.
Mm.
That the only contribution people can make to your life is that of happiness, is that of laughter, joy, ambience, listening ears. But when they leave, your world should not come apart because you've been so aggressive about putting it together on your own.
Mm.
You know, every aspect of your life, be it your mental health, your emotional health, your financial health, depend on no one in any aspect. Mm. And I think when you do that, you will not care what people have to say because what you say has no bearing on my reality.
It really doesn't.
Whatsoever.
Maybe that's another, now that you're saying it, it could be like what's also like brought me out of the people pleasing like thingy.
Yeah.
It's because I have built my life from my own. Like I'm my everything.
Yeah.
Like I am to myself everything.
Yes.
I am my provider. Like nobody brings
besides God.
Besides God,
after God, I mean.
Yes. After God. I'm talking about human beings. Human beings. Men. God is my strength and everything. But I'm talking about in terms of human beings, right?
Yeah.
The, what my circle brings to me is laughter, happiness, listening ear, support, all those things, which are beautiful things. But if and when they leave and more come in, the others can still bring that same thing, you know? It's not like when someone leaves, they leave you empty. It's like it's spaces and gaps in your life that can be filled by others as well, you know? So it's very precious. I appreciate it so much. But then I literally, like, built my life brick by brick with God. Brick by brick, you know? So now I don't care. I don't care
if you leave, good reasons.
I don't care if you're offended. I don't care if I don't make you happy. I really don't care because, like, One thing about me, I will thrive regardless, you know, and that's what, maybe that's what this season of my life has taught me. I will thrive regardless. Okay.
Like, so what, in light of this conversation, and in light of our conversation series, Becoming Her.
Yeah.
How do you suggest that people can no longer perform and focus on their purpose? What are some tips you can give for people to stop performing?
I think one is like self-introspecting.
Yeah.
Like look at every aspect in your life and answer the question why.
Mm-hmm.
If you cannot answer the why, you are definitely performing.
Sure.
Why am I doing this degree? Why am I in this relationship?
That's good.
Why am I in this friendship? Why do I go to this job? Like, why? If you can answer the why, and the why doesn't make sense to you, and the why does not fulfill you, you are in performance. So that's the only advice I could give. Ask yourself why.
I think mine is similar, is that what I mentioned earlier, to detach yourself from the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Just be, show up, give, love, you know, show up for your friends, be present, just be. And don't attach yourself to what the outcomes of being could be, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that would be my tip. And easier said than done, because we don't live on an island. No man is an island.
Yeah.
So you've got eyes on you. You've got people who depend on you. You've got people who look up to you. You've got people, you know, the whole breaking generational curses thing. That's a reality. And so it will make it difficult to implement the whole, you know, mindset change of no longer attaching yourself to the outcome. But it's a daily practice thing. And I always, my second tip also would be slow living. And I say slow living because the faster you think, the faster you move, the less attention you pay to exactly what you're doing to the people around you. If you slow down and listen to the, oh, this is a book I'm reading, right? Let Me Not Be Mad, right? That's the name of the book. And, sorry, it follows the journey. It's written by a neurologist, right? Mm-hmm. / neuroscientist. Let me say neurologist, who studies people's brains essentially and mental illness, but severe mental illness, neurological mental illness, right? Mm-hmm. And he says that people don't communicate as well as they do with their words. They don't communicate as well with their words than they do with their faces. Does that make sense? So The real communication is in the person's face.
That's so real.
It's not in their words.
Twitch, the smile.
Do you get?
You see it all.
Do you get? And that for me is an indication that if you can't tell somebody's real intentions and who they are and what they mean and how they really feel, if you can't decode that by their facial expressions, it means you're not paying attention and it means you're moving too fast, slow down. And by doing these things, by slowing down and seeing this person's facial expression and seeing your own facial expressions or noticing when you say something wrong, when you do something wrong, it will allow you to see yourself for who you really are. And when you do that, you notice when and where you're performing. You know? So slow down and pay attention. Maybe we'll talk more about, the book is really good. I just need to remember the author. No, I got you guys. Hold on.
The title and the stuff.
Yeah, the author. I have to give it to you.
How many minutes are we on?
Oh, awesome.
23. Okay, so we have room for one more.
To give it to you guys. Just give me 1 second. The name of this book. Yes, Let Me Not Be Mad by A.K. Benjamin. Guys, I got this book from, not Exclusive Books, man. You can get it anywhere, really. But it's a story of unraveling minds. It's really good.
I will buy that book. I've been looking for a book. Everybody knows. I've been looking for a book, and that sounds like an interesting book. I love books that go into the mind. I don't know. I just love it.
And like, should I tell you how it ends?
No, don't tell me how it ends.
But like, it has a really good. Okay,
don't tell me. Let me read it. I'll read it. How long? How big is it? Like, is it a huge book?
No, not a huge book at all. About this thick.
Yay, hi. Give me a month.
Okay.
Give me a month. This okay, time,
I also
next
haven't
month,
finished it. Like, I've just gotten to the climax where it's like,
and you're no just like, way what? This
like, okay, and okay. It's not a story like the one that I've mentioned before, but it's the new.
Are you spoiling
okay,
it?
No, okay. Let me shut
keep
up.
Quiet. Yeah, yes. Okay. The last question I want to ask you is, this is what we've like. Literally, guys, we literally tackled most of the talking points. Authenticity is magnetic. Mm-hmm. People are drawn to truth, not perfection. Literally, what she just said.
Yeah, literally what
you see, you know, guys. On this couch, great minds.
Yeah,
great minds. Literally, guys. I guess this is our advice to you.
Yeah.
Answer the why.
Yep.
Slow down.
Yeah.
And being authentic. Yeah. That is what is gonna attract the right people, the right opportunities, the right everything, guys. Yeah. When you're authentic, I'm telling you, you will find your village. You will find people who you don't have to please.
Yeah.
You will find opportunities where you don't have to perform. Yeah. It takes you so far. Like, let me actually give you a great example of authenticity.
Okay.
So, I was applying for my bursary, right? And in the bursary question, they asked, why should we thingy you for this bursary?
Yeah.
Guys, humbleness is a gift from God. It's something I don't have. It's something that God has, like, instilled in me, being humble, you know? And they're like, why should we give you this bursary? So I didn't answer, like, why they should give me this bursary. I took the question. I'm like, let me tell you guys why you need me.
Love.
I literally wrote, that was the title of my essay. I was like, why you need me. Not why I need you.
Yeah.
Why you need someone like me.
Yeah.
And I got that bursary. Yeah. I didn't have the best matric marks at all.
Yeah.
Like, I think the people I got the bursary with, most of them, they took 40 learners and they get a lot of applications. And most of them had like 7 distinctions, whatever distinctions. And I barely had any distinctions, you know. But I think what really like set me apart was that essay. And it was because I was being authentic. I didn't know how to answer the question why I need the bursary. Like, I don't know how to go into sob stories. Like, I could have went into the fact that, my mother is a single mother, I am homeless. Like, I could have gone that narrative. Yeah. But I don't know how to do that because I don't see that as sad things. I see that as things that are shaping me. Mm. So I don't know how to talk negatively about that. Mm. And most people, that's all they do. And that, like, sounds like the right way to go about it. But me being the confident, strong-willed, opinionated black girl I am, that was not authentic of me to go that direction. So the direction I went was the one that was authentic to me, which is why you need me. And it worked out. Now they're like, hey, this girl is a lot to handle. But it worked
especially
out.
This year. Hey, no.
Exactly. Now they understand why the essay was the way it was.
Why you need me.
You need me, bro. Exactly. So, yeah. But you see, now I'm like, that. I'm sure I'm like one of the biggest advocates for that bursary that so at the end of the day, they got benefit from, you know, Tutuka bursary fund. Applications are open. Go apply now. This is not an ad, by the way. It's just me giving you opportunity.
That's lovely. That's a great example of how being yourself is rewarding. And you know, one of the things that came into mind when you were, you know, narrating your story is that how some of the people who did write that essay used their pain as the performance, used their trauma as the performance. And it's not only, obviously, it's not only done in that circumstance, but we see it every day. Like, I'll make an example of flipping Mrs. Sunday from the Mummy Club, bro. Like, Mrs. Sunday, every time they call her out of having no backbone, she runs to anxiety and depression. Like, we can't sympathize with you anymore when your pain is your performance.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? Like, it should not be licensed for you to think we will coddle you. And this is not generations.
Yes, everybody got traumas, y'all. I'm sure everybody who applied for that bursary has traumas.
Yeah.
It's from an underprivileged background because that's why we qualify to get to that step.
Yeah.
So that doesn't, that's not
already. No.
Exactly. That's not what makes you unique. Yeah. What makes you unique is who you are on the inside, your authenticity. I think even with job interviews, like we're doing like an interview thingy with Deloitte. Mm-hmm. I think I've been interviewed by Deloitte PwC. I'm talking about the big four firms, right? Mm-hmm. And they literally like said, you are the best you have the best interviewing style.
Congratulations, my friend.
Yeah, they literally called me, like, they said, hey, you have, like, you are so easy and nice to interview.
Yeah.
And it's because you're not, like, you are so authentic. Imagine getting there. It's an accounting job. I'm saying I'm an influencer.
Yeah.
Why are you telling us you're an influencer? And I'm telling them, no, this is what I do. This is how I do it. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And they loved that about me because that's what made me unique from other candidates.
Yeah.
So always be authentic in job interviews and bursary applications. This is me just giving you life advice. Yeah. Authenticity is magnetic.
I love that. I think my closing take as well, and I'm just reflecting on the questions you asked earlier on whether I ever felt pressure to perform. And now I'm realizing that there is one aspect in which I felt pressure to perform.
Yeah.
And that's in being nice. I've felt, especially here, in our career path, in this industry. No, not on the couch. I'm talking about spa. I felt pressure to be nice and not necessarily good. Does that make sense? Showing face, but internally just having ulterior motives. I thought that there was some point where I was so suffocated by people who had... I was so suffocated by vindictiveness that I felt, you know what? If I want to get ahead, I've got to be vindictive too. But I realized that I can't help but be good. And this is my reassurance to people who feel that their goodness is not paying off. Their real, true... heartfelt goodness to people is not paying off. I can't express to you any more than I am right now to continue being good. You are not going to be rewarded by man. You will be rewarded by God. And that time is a time that you can't dictate. But do not lose your goodness for the sake of being nice. Do not sit amongst people whose niceness is just a facade for their vindictiveness. Especially in the workspace, guys, whether you're in corporate, whether you're in content creation, the people that laugh with you very often.
Plotting.
Are plotting. But don't feel, release yourself from the pressure and the feeling the need to mimic them because they seem like they're succeeding. It will crumble. And when it does, you will emerge victorious. And I'm speaking from experience because in the moments where I pointed out a vindictiveness in somebody else, I seemed crazy.
And then when
I just sit back and I'm just like
scroll. Scroll. Scroll.
Oh my goodness, I think that's it for our conversation. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is just a glimpse of what we do over on memberships. So if you enjoyed this conversation as authentic, raw, real as it was, this is exactly what we do over on that side. And memberships has decreased, guys, from 149.99 to 39.99, guys.
This is the opportunity.
And there's so many perks over on that end. We mentioned our newsletter, and the first people to see the newsletter will be the members. Let us not lie to you here and say, hey, it's going to be available for everybody at first. No, our members are going to see it first. Our members are going to receive exclusive invites. Our members are going to participate in the Q&A. Mm-hmm. Our members. And to our members, we love you loads.
Love you down.
Thank you for supporting. Thank you very much.
Love you down, guys.
Thank you. You want to give the cues?
Yeah, subscribe, like, comment, share. Because that's how audio. You get... Oh, yeah, guys. Yeah. And listen, today's it's a Friday. Our audio comes out on Friday.
Yes.
So if you haven't listened to our previous episodes or any other episode, go over there and listen. Like, I was crying the other day. I was like, oh, my God, I haven't seen us on the charts. Because y'all are over here by YouTube.
Can go and listen on the go. Like, you don't have to stop and watch us. And you get the audio 3 days.
Yes, it comes out every Friday.
The actual episode comes out. So you can listen to it while you're driving. Listen to us in the gym. Because sometimes, you know,
listen to us while you're studying. Whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
This is the perfect opportunity.
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all listening platforms. Yes. Our audio goes out every Friday.
Yeah, boy.
All right. Without further ado, we'll see you guys on Monday.
Bye.
Bye.